In the name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever spent a night at sea? Not on one of those big fancy cruise ships that makes its way through the Inland Passage up to Glacier Bay in Alaska in the summertime, or down along the Mexican Riviera in our winter. But have you ever spent a night at sea in an open little boat? There's absolutely nothing like a night at sea, especially a night on a chaotic sea, a sea buffeted by wind and wave, waves that crest out of nowhere and climb into the boat with you, soaking you to the bone. There's nothing like an icy cold night at sea, and anyone who has spent one of those nights at sea in a small boat can tell you about it. Have you ever had to stay up all night? Not because you wanted to, but because you had to. Somewhere around the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, it's the hardest time of the night. You're not fully awake, and you're always on the verge of falling asleep. Just as an aside, take the opportunity sometime to thank God for the gifts that He has given to us in people who keep watch in the fourth hour or the fourth watch of the night. Doctors and nurses who just got off an hour ago after a 12-hour shift. Policemen and military personnel, firemen, pilots, power plant operators. The fourth watch of the night is a tough watch. And it was no doubt a tough 3 hours for the disciples as well. They were exhausted. They had just returned from their commissioning. Jesus, as you remember, had sent them out two by two, told them to take nothing for their journey but a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. Trust Jesus. Trust that God will provide. Whenever you enter a house, Jesus told them, stay there until you leave that town. And if they won't welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet as you leave as a testimony against them. Trust takes energy. And for people who like to have their ducks all in a neat little row, living your life not knowing where the next meal is going to come from is an exhausting thing. So our Lord invited His disciples to rest with Him on their return, to gather around Him and report to Him all that they had done and taught. But you know how it is. You seek that solitary place. You expect a break, a bit of a vacation, some time off. And that's the last thing the crowd wants for you, or your boss, or your kids, or your parents. So much for a Sabbath day's rest for you. But then again, it wasn't the Sabbath day, and so Jesus put them to work. Give them something to eat, He told them last week. And taking two fish and five loaves of bread, Jesus, the host, looks up to heaven, gives thanks, and breaks the loaves and divides the fish. And the table servants of our Lord distribute fish and bread until everyone is satisfied. Then, immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. I take issue with that word made to get into a boat. My goodness, of course they'd want to get into a boat. Well, but that's not the point here. They really hadn't very far to row, just from one town on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee to the next, to Bethsaida. Not very far at all, really. But it took a long time for them to get there because the wind was against them and they were rowing in vain. It's hard when you have been awake all day to row all night against wind and wave. Exhausted, cold, tired, they were making headway painfully, the scripture tells us. I like that phrase. Not that I like the phrase so much as I like the crafting of the words, making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Describes life, doesn't it? Making headway painfully. You know, Southern California is about the most mild climate in the whole world. Garrison Keillor once said that God hated California, and that's why he made its weather boring, 70 degrees year-round. We don't get weather here. But that doesn't mean that we're not acquainted with storms. You've been buffeted by many of them. I know. Maybe even right now, you are on the leading edge of some sort of hurricane. Or you have a tornado bearing down on you. A tempest that you politely call work. The squalls that come in parenting. A drought of finances. Legal downbursts. Marital gales. Not my gale. You know what making headway painfully is all about in those cases. That is, if you're even making any headway at all. Our Lord came to his disciples. Actually, he meant to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. Fear overtook them. They thought they were seeing a ghost, not the Holy Ghost, not some sort of horror flick specter, not some ghost that vanishes when the morning light comes over the horizon. No, they thought that they were seeing the spirit of the sea, the spirit of chaos approaching, which in Jewish thought, the chaos of the sea meant impending disaster of titanic proportion. In their minds, this was it. This is the end. They were all doomed men. Have you seen any ghosts lately? Do you feel doomed? What specters haunt you? What ghosts whisper disaster into your ears? What phantom of disease raises its hoary head? What haunt in the back of your mind continues to tell you, you are doomed? They're not just specters that haunt you, are they? Bad dreams that go away when morning dawns. I wish they were. We could all wake up and... But they're not. They're as real as life itself. If you could only hear, the waves crashing against the person sitting behind you, if you could only witness the storm whistling through the life of the one next to you, if you could only perceive the shore break smashing the poor soul in front of you into the hard sand, it would be deafening in here. Fear overtook them, like it overtakes you. And compassion overtook Jesus. Into the chaos, the one who created the universe by the speaking of his word brought his disciples comfort by the speaking of his word. Take heart, it is I, he said. Actually, what he said is, take heart, I am. Calling himself by the name God gave to himself in the Old Testament, the name he gave to Moses at the burning bush, I am who I am. Do not be afraid, take heart, I am, and God got into the boat with them. Luther wrote a Christmas hymn, a hymn that starts off with Jesus speaking. The first verse goes this way. From heaven above to earth I come to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say and sing. Mark's hymn begins, and he got into the boat with them. From heaven above to earth he comes, and God gets into the boat with you. Down into the tempestuous sea of your life, Jesus comes. Not divinely steering everything from heaven with a little autopilot, because if he did that, he couldn't deal with the biggest problem that we have, the debt of our sins have amassed under the law. And so into our broken, chaotic lives, Jesus comes, incarnate, God taking upon himself human flesh, becoming a part of his creation, suffering the same storms you do, had his heart torn apart by the same things that break your heart, found himself between the same rocks and hard places that you find yourself in between. God gets into the boat with you. He knows. He knows the fears, the anxieties, the worries. He knows the chaotic sea your boat is floating in right now. He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. The wind ceased, and they were utterly amazed, astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Well, whatever does that mean? Well, it means exactly what it says. Their hearts were hard. Hard hearts. Whether it's the heart beating in the most committed atheist or in the chest of a guy who's simply wrestling with the faith. Hard hearts are hearts that are afraid to trust what has already proven trustworthy. And the disciples' hearts were hard. They simply didn't get it. They didn't just trust Jesus. They didn't see who it was who was breaking the bread and dividing the fish a mere few hours before. Oh, sure, they saw that it was Jesus, but they didn't really see in Jesus the great I am. They didn't see who he really was and why he had really come. The disciples had a hard time seeing Jesus for who he is, and so also did the crowds. John tells us they didn't see him at all, for they sought to take him by force and make him their king. Everyone who was looking at Jesus saw him through eyes that were clouded by the stormy waters of their own wants and needs and desires and troubles. Oh, not that those storms aren't real. They are. They're big, terrible tempests. Tempests that need to be taken to the Lord in prayer. But if that's the only thing your eyes see, if Jesus is only there to handle bread and fish things, your health issues and financial problems and relationship turmoils, then your eyes are blind to the biggest problem you've got, and that's the problem of sin and death. Jesus is more than just a personal welfare agent giving out food and calming winds. They didn't get it. But Jesus doesn't hold that against them. God answers prayer. From the cry that arose from the terrified hearts of the disciples to Peter who had sunk in the waves, to your prayers and to mine. Little ones, big ones, ones that are about really big deals and prayers that are about deals that aren't that big at all. He doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to, and then again he does. But don't lose sight of the main reason why our Heavenly Father sent his only begotten Son into this world, to bear our sin and be our Savior. Our Lord has come as the God of grace. He had compassion on the crowds who were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on his disciples and calmed the wind and the waters. But greatest of all by far, he poured out his blood from the cross for you. So that when the final storm sweeps you out to sea, you have life with him forever. And he comes to you today even also in his word and in and under his body, bread and wine in his body and blood, to give you the benefits that he worked on the cross for you, namely forgiving you your sins, healing and feeding your soul. Have you ever noticed that whenever the disciples get into the boat, things seem to go against them? Don't tell my wife I said that. That's kind of the way it is with boats, you see. As Captain Ron said, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen out there. And it does. For the disciples, and for us. Either they fish all night in vain or the winds kick up against them. It was true for them, and it's true for you too. Here in the chaos of your life, tempests are going to rage against you too. Tempests that come upon you through no fault of your own. Raging storms that you steer straight into. Cyclones that are the result of your own sin and rebellion against God, and frothy gales that aren't. When those tempests of life rage within you, and battening down the hatches really does no good, whenever the chaos of the sea is swamping you, look out over the chaos. He comes to you in his word, and he says to you, take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. When he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Where Jesus abides in his grace, there is peace in that place, no matter what kind of chaos is blowing. Into your boat, Jesus steps, and with compassionate mercy, he reminds you, even in the midst of screaming wind and crushing wave, he reminds you that your greatest problem has already been taken care of. Make no mistake, the weather rages on and death continues to threaten, and the darkness of the fourth watch of the night is terrifying indeed. But in your boat, Jesus is the great I am. And he gives you his word. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Not even death and hell can pluck you from my nail-pierced hands. You are safe with Christ in God. And then he invites you into another ship, the ark of his church. In fact, he lifts us up out of the swamped cockpits of our sinking little boats, washes us off in the cleansing waters of holy baptism, wraps us in the warm robes of his righteousness, and brings us to the captain's table, where he feeds us with nourishment that can only come from him, with nourishment that wards off death forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.